working. Couldn't you see somebody kneel down at the altar and all of a sudden that thing revive and decide to go for one more run? So that's the reason I'm requesting that. You never get good service like that in First Baptist Church of anywhere. How about that right there? Is that working? Good. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We're going to be looking in the book of Psalm, And so anyhow, I appreciate your kindness. My wife and I appreciate your faithfulness. And we appreciate, once again, all the food, the time of fellowship, all the good preaching that we've been able to enjoy. And so we bless the Lord for that. And so we're going to be looking tonight in the book of Psalm, chapter 80. Now, Psalm chapter 80, if you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse number 1. He said, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, and that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." Look now in verse 14. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou mayest be strong for thyself." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, for thou art God. Beside thee there is none else, and thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. We pray you to save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thanks for the good report on these that we've been praying for, that, Lord, that have some horrendous illnesses. And we thank you for seeing see your hand in improvement. Now we ask your blessing upon the service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. All right, I want to preach a little while, if I will, on the subject, "Lord, visit this vine." Now, when you look into the Bible, you begin to realize and know that God and the dwelling place of God is between those cherubims that was upon the ark. And let me tell you right now, the mercy seat of God was there. And the only way a man's ever been going to be able to meet God is by the mercy of God. The only way a woman can meet God is by the mercy of God. It's going to take grace and going to take mercy and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you that when you come to the Lord, and by the way, in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, all that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? Too nonchalant. We just go ahead and take for granted, you know, that, hey, we can verbally do this, bow your head, repeat a prayer. But let me tell you, all that come to God, I must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me say that when you begin to look, number one, in this lesson here that we're talking about, according to the book of Isaiah, don't turn there, chapter 5, verse number 7, according to it, that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And so we're talking about Israel, and we're talking about some things and pitfalls that they had because of their own choosing and going the wrong direction, making the wrong choice, allowing the wrong people sometime to come in. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They've allowed the wrong people to come in. Yeah, right. You remember over there, whenever he told that church over there in the book of Revelation, and says, "Here's what I've got against you. Thou hast allowed those with the doctrine of Balaam to come into your congregation." Yeah. Remember that? It wasn't they believed the doctrine of Balaam, but here's what they did wrong. They allowed those people to come right on in. I wonder what God will think in the day and hour we're living in, should he come again, and all that's been allowed in the house of God. Number one, if you will, the shepherd is mentioned here in these passages. And let me tell you right now, I'm glad to know that we know the joyful sound that Jesus says, that Jesus saying. Let me tell you something right now. The Lord is the Savior, and the Bible said the Lord will save and add to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, over there in the book of Matthew, in the book of Ephesians, I believe that it is that you and I, we are in a body that, according to the chief shepherd, that's been fitly framed together, and God puts us in the house of God. I want to say to you, according to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9, Bible said we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We're called out of darkness into light. I got to tell you right now, that's a lot of change that only divinely can take place in any life so that others can see that it was not the work of our own hands or the work of our own heart, but it was a heart given by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, that's the shepherd that we're talking about. Number two in this lesson, let me say to you, there's the dwelling place of God. Now, you're not going to just find God anywhere and everywhere. I'm glad we can find him up and down the road of life, and every now and then you'll go into a place, and my, you'll find that the Holy Ghost of God bearing witness with our witness and that we're children of God and that we're among children of God. What a wonderful thing that is. But you know, if you're not careful, you'll spend your time going up and down the road of life, and it'll be deader than 10 o'clock, dead as a hammer. I was thinking about it with old Brother Gullett here. Man, he's smart. You know why? Studies night and day. I said, do you ever take a nap? He said, no, I try to, but I can't. His mind's running too fast. I said, well, let me ask you this here. Do you like to go fishing? Well, I'm not much on fishing. That's where your problem's at. See? And all that right there. And let me say to you that every now and again, a person needs to come aside unless they come apart. He agrees with that and knows that. I got to say to you that, if you will, what a blessing all the way around. I make no bones about whatever, is that if you're paying close attention, buddy, he'll tell you some stuff. And you'll have to look at some stuff twice. No doubt, I'm glad that we've every now and again sat down at the feet of somebody studious like that. The dwelling place of God in verse number one is between those cherubs that are, look at the cherubims that are there. And let me tell you, the sprinkling of the blood upon them. Over there in the book of Exodus, you can turn there, don't lose your text, but in the book of Exodus in chapter number 25, and we'll look at a passage or two concerning that. All right, Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus chapter, Genesis, Exodus 25. I'd already passed it up and went to Leviticus, verse 20. And the Bible said, and the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces shall look one toward one to another. And behold, the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in that ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and from between the two cherubims, in which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which that I will give thee in the commandment to the children of Israel. Now I want to say to you that, if you will, the dwelling place of God is on the mercy seat. And you're going to find out that it's upon the ark, that it's between those two cherubims that are bent over with their wings toward one another. Make no mistake about it, when you begin to look into it, that man in his, in his sinful ideology, man is ever trying to find a different place and a different way to be able to get in to the family of God. In fact is, when you begin to look into it, is that there's a lot of people over there, remember in the Genesis chapter 28, about verse number 17, is that Jacob, whenever he was on the run for his life, that he made a pillar out of a stone, and he saw the ladder going up from heaven down to earth, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, and he woke up and said, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. Now, you and I have got family that plan to go to heaven. They don't plan to go to the house of God, unless it's just convenient. But they plan to go to heaven. Now, I got to tell you right now, is I don't know about you, but I told somebody the other night, between church going and ball games, it's killing me. Somebody said, it's tough, ain't it? Yeah, it's tough. But I got to tell you, if I have to give up one of them, I've already given up Bluebell, guess which one of the others going to be? All right, I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that man is ever trying to find another place, trying to find another way, trying to find another excuse. But I want to tell you, God has chosen the house of God, the gate to heaven, to be where his name's at. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here, here's what Jesus said over in Matthew 16. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell are going to try to prevail against it. But I want to tell you what's happened in the day we live in. Back in our text over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 80, I want you to back up there to about verse 1 in chapter 79. The Bible said, O God, the heathen are coming to thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. Dead bodies of thy servants have been given to meat to the fowls of the heaven, so forth and on. Verse 3, there's none to bury them. You read both of these, 79 and 80 in conjunction, and they say a lot of the same thing, but I got to tell you something, is that there are those that have been busy trying to sneak into the family of God. And I want to tell you, you're never going to sneak in. There's a passage over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 21, about verse number 13. Remember, Jesus went into the house of God, and they had money changers, and they made it a business. They were buying and selling and had everything under the sun right there, and they were selling lambs, and they were selling sacrifices and doves and things of that nature. And all right, so you brought your own lamb. How about a new pair of sandals or something? They were making the house of God a place of merchandise. The Bible said that Jesus went in there, and he must have been more than a little upset, turned over the tables of the money changer. And here's what he said to them. My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. The thieves have always wanted to sneak in somehow or another and just be identified with the people of God. That's what they did with Israel. I mean, Israel's a holy nation. Israel's a people of God. Israel has got the blessings of God upon as long as she is obeying the Lord. And people wanted to be identified and be able to have some of that power. Over there in the book of Matthew, turn quickly there, chapter 22. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. When you look there in the passage, is that there's going to be a wedding day. And let me tell you right now is there's going to be a wedding day that's going to be between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, which is the church of the living God. Not everything that calls itself a church is a church, but you're going to find out is that somebody may slip in and you don't really notice it. I mean, it may escape our attention, but it will not escape God's attention. And I want you to look there in chapter 22, the book of Matthew, verse 11. In that passage, and the Bible says, Matthew chapter number 22, verse 11, verse number 12. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, you know the reason why, don't you? Because God has to put the robe of righteousness on us when we get saved. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, back over here in our text that we were looking at, the Bible said, Oh, the heathen have come into thine inheritance. They want to identify with your people. They want to have part of that inheritance. They'd like somehow or another to be identified as people of God. But as a result of that, God could see them. He could detect them. And not only that, you're going to find that many of them that were slain and many that shall be slain. There's no way a person's going to be able to go to heaven on a credit. They're not going to go to heaven by their own volition. They're not going to be able to deserve. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to take the mercy of God and the sprinkling upon the mercy seat that only God can do for you and I. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, you can look there as we get ready to close tonight. Because in the church of the living God that we live in, the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here's what I do know, that the Bible says in the book of Matthew 13, about verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed among the wheat and went his way. Sowed tares among his wheat and went his way. So the good seed is the wheat of God. And the enemy came and sowed tares among those wheat. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. I'm on, there's such a resemblance here that you and I with a natural eye, or you and I even with a saved eye, we might mislick and chop up some of the wheat. But verse 30, he said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, before you leave that, before you get through with that, sooner or later down the road in life, I've had people that we had to church. People, you know, they'd rather drink liquor. They'd rather drink out of the bottle than they had feed from the Bible. After several warnings in the process, they end up having to go. Sometimes a person is just so loving and kind, they go to running around on their husband or their wife, committing adultery and fornication. And as a result of that, they've got to be dealt with about it. And as a result of that, they have to separate it, because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. But somebody's going to say, now hold on a minute, preacher. Don't the Bible say let them both grow together? Now, no, not these obvious people that you can see and tell. He's talking about a person you may suspicion's not a Christian, but you can't tell the difference between him and some of the people that we think are Christians among our men in our congregation. Those you got to let both grow together. But a lying, cheating, conniving, scum, child molester, whiskey drinking, beer swallowing, getting the picture, that's very obvious. You ain't got to worry about that. As a result, we want to give people space to repent, no doubt about that. But sometimes they're not. They don't like it when they're not allowed to stay a part of the church. Why? I'll tell you why. They like to be identified with God's people. And God said, don't you let them do it. Don't you let them do it. Over there, Israel's always had the same trouble. And they had a lot of enemies that got in and slipped in on their side, wanting to be identified with them. Look at the Baptist church roll across the country. I mean, buddy, there's ever punk, ever skunk, and you name it, and it's there. I got to tell you, our Lord can see the difference. I hope that whenever he sees you and I, that he sees somebody that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb and born into the family of God. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed.